on the same route, there's been a very positive force for good for the UK and space sector in particular. And the growth of certain things is very important and something, you know, the industry can grow, we can help to seed that via our excellent ideas, which can then be taken to industry and used. I mean, I think the situation is changing and getting better in that respect. I mean, in the past, it's been sort of swept under the carpet a bit with you know, not having the space agency. But now we do, I think that's a really important thing which is happening.
Mark, very briefly.
Right, I have one line. I completely agree with you. somebody who is trying, this is two lines now, somebody who is trying desperately to realise the government's own strategic ambition through creation of a space force, I am really struggling with the government's support. Really struggling. I think it's a mixed picture.
Well, on those notes of disagreement, thank you very much, and thank you, panel. Very kind. Thanks. The space sector was born out of the Cold War, etc. I think we were talking in the corridor. It was just as well that it was a space race and there were two players, because the world would be a very different place if one of those players had been well ahead of the other one. They would have set all the rules. We wouldn't have needed a space treaty. We would have just had the space treaty defined by either the Soviet Union's or the Americans, and we'd have had nuclear weapons in space, because why not? Yeah. So we're quite fortuitous that there was an arms race and not a winner of that. So that was an interesting thing. I think the world's changed. Now, any engineers amongst you would know that any system, if you have a self-regulated system, the regulation has to be timely compared with the type of change the system has. The world has changed very enormously. We've heard the space treaty hasn't changed at all in that time. There's been a few amendments, a few additions, and minor adjustments. But I believe we're in a danger now that we're starting to see sort of nations starting to act unilaterally, because they just have to deal with a changing world, and they can't look at the UN to act fast enough to put in place all the regulatory framework that allow them to exploit space in the way they want to. I don't know how to do that. But I think there is an issue here that we need to address, that there is a role for the treaty. I don't think we should reopen the treaty. I think that would be a nightmare and a really wrong thing to do, because it still serves us very well. But I think we have to live in a different world, and we're going to have to learn to live in a world where things beyond the treaty are going to be dealt with by force majeure. Opinion of that. I think we heard, we've also heard the enormous potential for space to deal with, to help deal with some of the problems of the world, to keep Malthus at bay for another 50 years through space assets, space monitoring and all that sort of Earth observation stuff, which brings us into the big data situation. There's a lot of data coming from space, that's clear. We need to sort of redefine our understanding of things like privacy. That was made very clear to us. We've just got to rewrite the rules on that. We've got to learn to live with Big Brother watching us, sort of thing. It might be quite like that. I think that there's the oil allergy analogy was quite interesting, because a complex system, and Sergio mentioned the congested, contested, competed, and complex. I hadn't heard that described with the word complex on. But when you add the complex system to it, in complex systems, you get emergent properties. In big data, in the sort of way we deal with big data, we'll have emergent, there'll be things that big data do that are wonderful and we want them to do, but we're going to gradually see more and more things that big data does that we're not going to like. And we're going to have to put in place things, and it'll be just like the oil industry. Oil was great 50 years ago. We all, you know, and Cadillacs in America were enormous. Nowadays, you know, driving a diesel car, it's a bit embarrassing, really. You keep it in the garage and put a little sticker over the D. And I think the same thing will be with big data. The way we exploit the data will have downsides as well as upsides. Maybe we'll get on top of those downsides pretty quickly, but it will eventually limit the way we exploit the data. Maybe that's just me being predictive. So that was that. Okay, so I think we do need to be responsible. I think that was mentioned. I think we're going to have to move beyond the space treaty and think about just acting responsibly and responsible. And I think we need the debate. We need to keep the discussion going in a multidisciplinary forum. And this is what this was in its own little way was all about. Those of you who read your read this carefully would notice the word joint seminar series. There are going to be another 5 of these type of lectures. And if you forgive me for a second, while I just find the right page. So there's 5, and the topics that we've chosen, this will be over the next years, 5 more likely, so over the next years. Personal and national security, food and water security, environmental security, economic and financial security, got the security in there, disaster and crisis prediction, response and management. So those are the 5 topics. This has been a sort of a taster for those topics. Some of those topics were just covered in 10 minutes or 15 minutes today. They'll get a whole afternoon devoted to them on those series. We do hope that you'll come back and listen to those talks. I'd like to thank the speakers for giving us such a concise and accurate view of the world. I'd like to thank our rapporteurs, Gemma and
Valentina.
Yes, for what is going to be a wonderful report, which you'll all get to see a copy of. And I'd like to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a safe journey home. So thank you very much.